Thank you guys for leading us so well. We're thankful for you and just the way that you served us this morning. And good morning to you guys. I want to invite you, if you need a Bible, to raise your hand. We'll get you a Bible, but we're going to turn, if you have your Bible, in the Bible to the letter of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, where we're going to look this morning. Also, just want to wish you happy Resurrection Sunday. This is a great Sunday that we have together to celebrate the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus is alive today, and that's what we celebrate every Sunday, but today is just one of those Sundays especially that we can celebrate and praise God for the fact that Jesus is alive. We're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want to give you just a second to turn there. We're going to start by reading from verse 12 this morning. All right, 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 12. It says, "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind." Verse 16, "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which we do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning thankful for this Sunday, just another Sunday, to celebrate the fact that you came, you died on the cross for us, Lord, and you rose again. And the fact that whoever believes in you will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We thank you, Lord, even for your word this morning as well. And we ask that you would help us to understand it and that it would challenge us and be helpful to our lives even this week. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. A couple of years ago at one of our middle school summer camps, I made a huge rookie mistake. I made a really big mistake. Before we got to camp and then right as we got to camp, I realized that I forgot one of the most important things to bring to camp. It was a flashlight. I forgot to bring a flashlight to camp. And you just got to go, "Ryan, what are you thinking?" But yes, I forgot a flashlight. And it is one of the most important things you can bring to camp. When you think about it, there's like that most important list of things. Like, you should definitely bring a toothbrush to camp. You should definitely bring a pillow, a sleeping bag. But up on that list pretty high is also a flashlight. And you know why that would be, like why you would need a flashlight at camp. Maybe think of being in the cabin in the middle of the night and you have to get up and there's one of your cabin mates like sleeping or suitcases that's just open, and it's a huge suitcase, and there's stuff just all over the floor, and you can't see anything, and you're just tripping all over the place in your cabin because you don't have a flashlight. Or you could think of being outside at night at some point during camp and you're trying to get where you're supposed to be and you realize you can't see anything. And there's no way to find your way around in the darkness. And you're just trying to get to the place that you belong. You're just trying to get to, maybe it's your cabin or wherever that place you're headed at night is. You know how important it is if you're at like a camp that you would have a flashlight to be able to see. It really helps. It's actually very necessary to have a light with you to guide you, to show you to the place that you want to be, to help you see where you need to go. And we know, like you know, if you've been around church, that that's how God's word talks about the Bible for our lives here in this world. You probably know Psalm 119 that says that God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. That's how the Bible is spoken of for our life here in this world. It's a light to help us see where we need to go as we're here in this world. We absolutely need, it's not optional, we absolutely need God's word. We need the Bible in our life to help us know where we want to go, where we should go, where we need to go. We need the Bible to answer some very important questions. Just think about some of these questions that the Bible alone can answer. How do I know what is right? How do I know what is wrong? How can you be kept away from a path of destruction? How can you be rescued from sin that can totally ruin your life? How will you know what God wants for your life? How will you know what God has to say for you in your life today? Where do you find out God's will for your life? Another question, how can you be forgiven from all of your sins? How can you have your sins canceled? How can you have them taken away? How can you find out about God's grace? How can you know what God says about being saved? Maybe the most important question, how can you know that you're somebody who's going to enter into heaven someday when you die? How can you know that you're going to be somebody who's welcomed into the kingdom of Jesus and saved from your sins? The Bible is the only light we have to help us answer those questions and so many other questions. It's a light that is absolutely necessary. God's word gives us the answer to those questions and it shows us the way out of the dangerous darkness that you're in without it. Again, Psalm 119, 105, a verse you might know well. Your word, God's word, the Bible, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. God's word gives light for our lives to show us the way that we want to go, to show us away from a path we don't want to be on, to help us go to the destination we want to get to. God's word is what we need in a dark place. It's the light that we need for our path. And that's the message. That's what we find also here, again, repeated for us in the New Testament in this book, really the short letter of 2 Peter. A reminder that might even be familiar to you, but that you and I need to hear again and again, that we need God's word. And not only do we need it just on a shelf somewhere, we need it every day. We need to listen up, to give our closest attention to what this book is saying. Because it's a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. And that's a familiar reminder we get from Peter here in 2 Peter in these verses, in verses 12 through 21. And I just want to give you this big idea this morning. I need the Bible in this life to show me the way to life. I need the Bible in this life to show me the way to life, to Jesus and to heaven with him forever. We need this book as a lamp for our feet and a light to our path to show us the way out of darkness into life and light that is only with Jesus, to show us the home that we want to reach someday. As we read, as we've read this passage, I want to show you that Peter, who's writing this letter, wants us to know some things about the Bible, some truths about the truth of the Bible that should help us think about how we need to listen to it. These verses were written so that we would know some things about the Bible that would make us listen closely to it. And so first, I want you to see that the Bible is really, really extra important. That's our first point. And I think it's kind of a funny way to say it. Your like English teacher, your grammar teacher would be like, that's not how you should write. But I like it. I think it's something that gets the point across. The Bible is really, really extra important. Verses 12 through 15 show us this. And that's why I say that. We see here that Peter says in verse 12, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth. He's saying, you know the truth. You've heard the Bible. You know the truth of God's word. But I'm going to remind you of it again because you need to hear it. Again, in verse 13, as long as Peter's in this earthly body, he calls that his dwelling or his tent. As long as he's alive here in this body, I'm going to stir you up by way of reminder. And then he says in verse 14, he knows he doesn't have much longer to live. So verse 15, I will always be diligent at any time after my departure that you will be able to call these things to mind. What's going on here? Well, Peter was somebody who had been with Jesus probably 30 or 40 years before this at this point. And so Peter's been a Christian for a long time, and he knows that his end is coming. He knows that he's going to go be with Christ soon. And so he really wants to remind Christians of the most important things that he can in this short little letter. That's why he says, verse 12, he's always ready to remind you. And then verse 13, he says at the end that he wants to remind us. And then in verse 15, to help us remember. He says that a couple times there. And I think that's just him trying to communicate that this is really, really extra important. That you would know the truth. I think of when you get dropped off a camp or to be away from home for a while and you say goodbye to your parents for a little while, what they're going to say at that point is something that is going to, that they want to stick with you, that they're going to say the most important things before they leave you for a little bit. They're not going to come up to you and say, oh, just remember this one really important thing before you go. Isn't the weather nice today? No, your mom's not going to say that. She's not going to come up to you and say, hey, just before you go, just know this. Did you see the score of the game yesterday? No, your mom's only going to say the most important things to you before she says goodbye. She's going to say, I love you. She's going to say, make good choices. She's going to say, be good. Your mom's going to leave you with the most important words that she wants to stick with you, that she wants to last. And that's Peter here. He's about to say goodbye, and he's going to say the most important words. And what is that? That verse 12, you would remember these things, that you would remember the truth that he's telling us. These things written here are the Bible, the truth, the things especially that he's talked about leading up to these verses about the gospel and about how you should live if you are a Christian. All of it's about, verse 20, the scripture. He wants them to think about and know and remember the truth of the scripture that shows us the good news about how to be saved from our sins and how we can be welcomed in to heaven. He wants us to know that this is, in God's word, the most important truth that you need to hold on to and cling to. Think about that, that this word does give us that truth. It shows us what God wants us to know about how you can be saved from your sins through Jesus coming, living a perfect life, dying on the cross in your place, and rising from the grave, and now he's alive today before the right hand of God, the Father in heaven. We need to know the truth of God's word that shows us to the gospel, that shows us to how we can be saved from our sins through believing in this person, Jesus. I think for a lot of us, the Bible might be something that we kind of become familiar with. It's something you kind of always have with you. It's always around. You bring it to church most Sundays, most Wednesdays. It's usually around. But what would it look like for you to actually treat God's word as something that's really, really extra important? What would it look like if you really believed that? Well, I think it would obviously mean starting to read it and getting to know what it says. It would be starting to listen more carefully to it. I think it would mean not brushing it off when there's things in the Bible that kind of convict you, but that you would actually respond to that conviction. It would mean that you would study and you would ask questions to older people when there's something in the Bible that just doesn't really make sense to you. It would mean that you would pray that God would help you to understand the Bible even better. It would mean that you don't drift away from the things in the Bible that have been taught to you, some of you, for your whole life. It would be that you would listen to what it says, especially what it says about Jesus and how you can be saved from your sins by God's grace. That's the plain and simple reminder I think Peter wants to leave with us here, that we would know that God's word, the truth in God's word, is so important for your life. What else should we know about the Bible here? Well, we should know it's really, really extra important, but we should also notice that the Bible is, point two, not made up, make-believe. The Bible is not made up, make-believe. Peter's saying here, everything you read about the Bible in verses 16 through 18, he starts to say, everything you read about it, everything that's said is actually the real thing. It's real eyewitness history. It actually happened. It's not made up. It's not make-believe. Verse 16, he says, we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's been telling them, and he's going to start to tell them, that Jesus Christ is coming back in his power and in his glory. And he says there at the beginning of verse 16, I'm not making this up. Everything that I saw and witnessed and experienced when I was around Jesus is not just something that's from my own mind. Peter was with Jesus closely for years. He saw Jesus do incredible miracles. He saw Jesus calm a storm. He saw Jesus cast out demons. He saw Jesus heal sick people. He saw Jesus raise somebody from the dead. He saw Jesus die on the cross, and he saw Jesus rise again from the grave. Peter could tell us a lot of things about Jesus, and he did. We have that written down in the Gospels, especially the Gospel of Mark, which was part of Peter's writing. But he tells us here that all that happened there wasn't something that was just made up. And he even tells us about a specific story of when he saw Jesus. He writes in verse 17 and 18, when he saw Jesus in all of his majesty. He saw Jesus at the transfiguration, it's called, where Jesus was on the mountain and displayed his glory as the Messiah, as God's son. He saw one of the most incredible, majestic displays of Jesus's glory. And he says, that is not made up. I actually saw this, and I actually heard God's voice from heaven. It's not a cleverly devised tale. It's not made up make-believe. I think some of us love to read fiction. Maybe you like to read fiction. I'm cool with that. I'm not against it. It's kind of fun to read some great stories that people have written. Maybe you even want to be a writer someday where you make up some really cool stories. And it's good that there's a lot of great books like that out there. But we need to know this about the Bible. It's not like other books. This book is real history. And not only is it history that belongs way in the past, it's life-changing history. It's history that's all true, that can change people's lives, especially what it says about Jesus, who came and lived and died and rose again. None of it is made up. And Peter's here to tell us, I'm not making this up. I think of maybe you saw how right now there's like some astronauts that are going to the moon. Have you guys seen that? Some of you guys are like big science nerds, and you, no offense, I'm calling you a nerd, but some of you guys have like really followed this. There's four astronauts that are on their way to the moon right now, and their mission is to go and see some parts of the moon that have never been seen before. They call it the outer side of the moon, and they're going to be some of the first humans ever to see that part of the moon. And then they're going to come back from their mission, and they're going to tell everyone what it was like to see something no one's ever seen before with their own eyes. They're going to talk about how indescribable, how incredible it would be to see the moon like they did. Well, Peter says the same thing about Jesus here. I've actually seen him. I've seen him in all of his indescribable, incredible glory and majesty. And I'm telling you, he's real. He's real. We should know that this book is not made up. And so we shouldn't treat it like that. We shouldn't treat it like just a bunch of cleverly made up stories. No, we need to know everything that the Bible says is real. And it's been history that's eyewitness history seen by people. I love there's this verse in Acts that talks about what happened with Jesus when he came to earth, and how what he did changed the world is not something that happened in a corner. That's another way to say that what happened with Jesus isn't just some little made-up story. It's real history that so many people witnessed and saw, and it's history that's changed and is changing the world even now. We should know that what we have here in the Bible is real. It's real truth for us to know. But number three, we should also know that Peter says that the Bible is God's own word. Verses 19, 20, 21, they say that this book is God's own word. More sure than what Peter saw and what he heard and what he tells us about from his own experience, more sure than that, as true as that is, even more sure, verse 19 says, is the prophetic word. It's this book from God. It's God's own word. Look at verse 20. He says, no scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. He's telling us that all that's here is not something that different people just kind of made up and decided to write in their own will or own ideas or own agenda. No, he's saying this is all from God. Every single word as it was given to us is from God, as he used men to write it. The Bible was written by human authors, by men, by prophets, but all of it was written by God, by the Holy Spirit. Men moved along by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God, verse 21 says. It's a book, all of it, that's spoken from God. This is kind of some big theological stuff, but I just want to read here a note that's actually in the MacArthur Study Bible. Maybe you have that, but you could read up even more on this later. But here's what he says about this. He says, the Bible is not the product of human effort. The prophets, in fact, sometimes wrote what they could not fully understand. Though the human writers of Scripture were active in the process of writing Scripture, God the Holy Spirit superintended them so that using their own individual personalities, thought processes, and vocabulary, they composed and recorded without error the exact words that God wanted written. The original copies of the Bible are inspired and they are without error. That's really cool to think about, isn't it? This Bible was written by men, right? It was written by men. But this Bible was also written by God. It's God's word that he gave for us to know what he wants us to know. Every single word. And that means that because it's from God, it has no errors in it. You can count on it. You can trust in it. You can rely on everything that it says for you and for your life. Think about what that means even more so, that we have a book that God wrote. God wrote a book. God wrote this book. God spoke these words for us. And it's more sure than us just having some experience where we maybe see a vision or see something incredible. No, he's given us something that's written down that's so clear for us to know exactly what he wants us to know. If God wrote a book, and he did, wouldn't you want to know everything that it says? Wouldn't you want to know what he says for your life? Wouldn't you want to know what God says about himself, about what he's like? Wouldn't you want to know what God says about you and about what he has for you, about what he says about your sin and how serious your sin really is? Don't you want to know what he has to say about how you can be saved from your sins and how he made a way for you to be saved from your sins through sending a Savior, through sending Jesus? We should know that this book tells us all about that and more. It tells us how we can be forgiven if we believe in Jesus, if we believe that he died and rose again. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Those are words from God for your life. The question is, have you heard those words? And do you believe those words? Are you following what those words are telling you to do? Are you responding like God wants you to respond to his word? The Bible is God's own book. It tells us everything we need to know from God himself. It's his own word. So that should make us ask, what are you doing with the Bible? Let me just say to you, listen to it. Read it. Believe it. Commit yourself to it now to do what it says. Pay attention to it. This world is, it says there in verse 19, a dark place. We live in a dark place. We live in a place where there's sin and lies and evil. We live in a place where we need to know what is true. And God's given us one book that tells us what is true in this dark place, like a lamp that shows us where we want to go, a lamp that will show us exactly to the place where we want to be. It's a book that's like a lamp that shows us the way to life, the way to Jesus, the way to being in heaven with him someday forever. God's given us his own word to pay attention to as a lamp that's shining in a dark, dark place. I think of the story that happened probably around 50 years ago. It was New York City, one of the biggest cities in the world, and there was a strike of lightning that made all of the lights in this huge city go out. And there's a story of one person. They were in one of the tallest buildings in New York City, overlooking the city at night, just enjoying looking at the lights, when all of a sudden, all of the lights went out. That would be kind of a scary thing to see, I think. They watched as the whole city went dark. And the only question that would go through my mind, and I'm sure went through their mind, was, how am I going to get home? How am I going to get back to where I belong through this dark place? God's given us in this world a light to show us how to get home, to show us where we can be someday with him in safety, in heaven, with him forever. And he's given us that light in his word, which shows us to Jesus, shows us to the gospel. I hope you're following it. I hope you're listening to it. I hope you're paying attention to God's word. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word and what these verses remind us of. Even truths that might be familiar to these students who have been here in church for a long time. Lord, help us not to forget that your word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. It's a lamp that's shining in a very dark place. It's the only book that can show us to everlasting life, that can show us to heaven, that can show us how to be saved from our sins. God, we thank you so much that you've given us this light and that it shows us directly to Jesus, who died in our place and who rose again. I ask, Lord, that every student in this room would be a believer in Jesus, that they would listen to your word and repent of their sins and believe in Jesus for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for this book, which shows us these amazing truths. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.